You are now listening to Soundspace, the podcast where we interview experts and professionals in the space of sound.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Soundspace. I am joined by my fantastic co-host, audio engineer Anthony Cacci. How are you?
I'm very good, man. How are you?
Doing well. Very happy to have you on. Today is going to be a bonus episode. We're about halfway through the season of our first podcast season with Soundspace. And
yeah.
So far, the guests that we've had on have been a blast. I'm so excited to have the second half come out as we are producing this.
Absolutely.
Today, we're going to be talking about plugins that we enjoy, that we go to when we mix and produce and do other things, three each. But before that, Anthony, how you been? Give us your thoughts on the first half of the season. Let's kind of do a bit of a retrospective here.
Yeah, I've been good, man. Like, it's so amazing having all these people on our podcast and talking about, you know, their lives and stuff they've gone through, what led them to where they are now. It's so amazing, and how each experience is different and each process is different for each person.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. It's like, I'm learning a lot even as I'm here, as I'm meeting new people. It's incredible. What about you?
Absolutely. Oh, for me, I'm so proud of this podcast. I'm so happy.
It's my baby.
It's going the way it's going. This is like a baby that I am so happy we created.
Yeah.
Just the thing is, for me, I started listening to podcasts about music production and audio production, you know, when I started working at a studio, and it just made me realize that I'm not the only one out there pursuing this very unique career, you know. And talking to other people who are studying a master's degree, or, you know, freelance audio engineers, or independent artists, film music composers, you know, electroacoustic composers, pianists, you know, just people from all different walks of lives, has been such a pleasure.
Yeah.
And it just makes me learn new things, you know. To me, though, that Casey episode has stuck with me since the day we've recorded it. To be honest,
yeah,
that has been the one that really stuck with me. Oh yeah,
we started strong there. That was very, very great start.
Yeah, absolutely. Casey is a fantastic guest that we had on episode 2. And if my calculations are correct, they are finishing their masters at this point.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Casey. So yeah, that's a quick little retrospective on the podcast. Today, what we have for you, we were supposed to record with a guest that unfortunately couldn't make it last minute. So we still had this time slot available. So we told ourselves, why not do a quick short and sweet episode?
Exactly.
Where
you have a nice bonus.
A little bonus. You know, you get 2 episodes this month. Not a typical thing. Usually we only do 1 a month, but this is going to be a bonus one for you. This episode, we're going to be talking about go-to plugins that we use in our mixes, what we perform with, just like different things that we enjoy when we create audio. I think as a precursor, it'd be cool, Anthony, if you could maybe get into, and then I will, what were the factors at play when you were deciding what plugins to pick and discuss?
Based on, you know, how often I use it, and how often I use it and how great it is. Even if I don't use it as much, there are some plugins that I don't use as much. There are very powerful ones that I have on my library.
Nice. Okay. So for me, how can I say this? Basically, these are 3 that they're not plugins that come within the DAW. You know, they're not stock.
Yeah.
They are plugins that I found as I ventured more and more into mixing. And all 3 of these are on my mix bus, is basically what I would explain. Specifically on my mix bus when I do my anime piano covers. So usually my mix bus kind of only had 1 thing, and maybe I would add like a limiter after that. But now it's like that one plugin that Anthony, I think, has in their pick, so I can give my thoughts. Then,
yeah.
And then it's a couple of other things, and then just 1 little last thing. I'm being generic because I don't want to spoil. Trust me, I know what these things do.
It's okay. You can spoil. I don't mind. We're going to talk about it either way.
Yeah.
You know? But,
you were hollow the ball right there, Anthony. So what was the first plugin you wanted to talk about?
So the first one I wanted to talk about was Isotope Ozone 8. Yes, I haven't upgraded yet, but Ozone 8 is truly amazing. I use it for everything, mostly when I'm mastering, but I definitely use it on my instruments. Sometimes I use it for the multiband compressor. I use the EQ. Actually, I use the EQ less often. I've mentioned it in previous episodes that my EQ is very simple. I use the stock EQ from Logic. But yeah, Ozone, I use it for mastering, and sometimes while producing, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, definitely. No, Ozone is a powerhouse. I bought myself the Ozone 9 Advanced over a year ago, and its features go everywhere. You know, you have master. I don't know.
It's so versatile.
8 has this, but at least it's so versatile. Multiple EQs, multibands, a maximizer.
Yeah.
You know, and then the really cool thing too that I love is that there's something called tonal balance control, which basically it's a way to fine tune your master to like, they will give you genres to refer to,
yeah.
you know, when you're mastering, you know, usually it's split up in four EQ bands, low, low, mid, and high. And then you can just see where the frequency spectrum usually lies in each of these frequency bands when you are mastering. And it kind of gives me an idea. There was a track that I mixed and mastered for one of our guests, Marquise, a cover, and she was covering a song. And so she's like, I really want this to sound like the original. So she sent me a version of the original, and I would use that, import it into Ozone 9 yeah. Advanced. This is something you can do, is you literally bring in your master reference, and then you can, it'll analyze it and give you, okay, here's the frequency spectrum, here's the dynamic range,
yeah.
and it just gives you all this information about it. And in tonal balance control, I can reference, okay, my bass is a bit too high here, if I want to be within the same sector as this original version, so it sounds the most yeah. like it. So what I really enjoy about Ozone 9 is that you can really get deep into the audio, and you can get really deep into the chain. You can even change them places. Yeah. You know, you can have your EQ first and then your dynamics. They have a tape emulator mm-hmm. in there. That's really good as well.
Yeah.
So just such a great plugin. Yeah, it's yeah. a powerhouse for sure.
One thing I don't have in Ozone 8 that you have in Ozone 9 is, and that I need to like save a few bucks up and upgrade, because it's a nice feature to have. It's importing a reference track.
Yeah, the track referencing.
Yeah, the track reference. That's something that I don't have, and that's really cool. That's a nice feature.
It's changed my workflow for sure. I want it to sound like the cover. This is a great way to get you within the ballpark. The thing is, yeah. too, with Ozone, I feel like you can kind of get lazy with it. I caught myself.
It almost feels like cheating.
Yeah, a little bit.
Is it though, like, if you know exactly what you're doing and you know how it works, like, is it really cheating? Like, it's a tool.
I don't think it's cheating.
It's there for, it's there to be used.
Right. What I was going to say is that just don't be that guy who hits Master Assistant, plays the loudest part of the song. Oh, it sounds good. Cool. Render. I think that's
right.
underutilizing this tool, because you have an exciter,
yeah.
you have a dynamic yeah. processor, a dynamic EQ, a spectral shaper, a maximizer, like I said, an EQ, a stereo imager, you know.
Yeah.
Even in 9, you have a thing called the low end focus, you know, which literally lets you go in the low end. You know, you can focus on, like, I don't know, I want like 180 hertz to 0 hertz,
yeah.
and you can go in there and just remove any artifacts you don't want in there, and you know, really get a tight low end in your mix that sounds perfect. So I use it a lot for hip hop as well. Lunatic Rappers definitely mm-hmm. ran a couple of those tracks into the low end focus. So yeah, good pick.
I am probably guilty of just running a preset, like running one of my personal tracks through a preset. I've done that at least once or twice, just playing around with the plugin. And
sometimes it works. Sometimes it works. It can be as simple. It sounds good. Cool. You know.
Yeah.
But like at the same time, be careful, because
of course
I would say like what 60% of my mixing is presets, but I always go in there and
yeah.
most often I will fine tune the preset.
I mean, it's crazy how incredible how much AI has advanced.
Mm-hmm.
And you can trust it a little more, but it's still not as good as the human ear. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, definitely presets are great, but you know, you need to tweak things, and you need to use yours to work on it.
100%. I think I'll go with my first pick.
Yeah, go for it.
So yeah, Isotope Ozone 9 would definitely be the first thing on my mix bus on my piano covers. And then I would have the fantastic Soothe. Soothe is a plugin by Oak Sound, and it's Soothe 2, and it's a dynamic resonance suppressor.
Okay.
Basically, what this thing does is you can put it on almost any track. You can use it as on a send as well. I've seen people do that, but you basically, it identifies any like resonances that you don't want in your mix, and right away it applies automatic reduction for them. So what happens is that you get automatically a smoother sound. This thing is always taking away, it's removing the bad and compensating for it and giving you a better result. 9 times out of 10 when I put Soothe on something, it sounds better.
Yeah,
that's how amazing this plugin is. Like examples, I remove like harshness from like close miking sometimes that I don't want, or sibilance. Obviously this could be perfectly used as a de-esser.
Yeah.
A lot of the anime podcasters episodes I've mixed, I've used Soothe as a de-esser, and it's been great. And then, you know, any proximity effect issues or boominess, that takes care of it as well. And Soothe has been just a powerhouse for me. You know, you even have a mid and side mode, you know, and you can do that per frequency band, you know.
Yeah.
So if I just want to clean all the nasty resonances in my low end, but only in my sides, I could do that, you know. Or if I want to do it only for my mids, I could do that as well. Or if I want to just clean off the sides in the high frequencies, I can do that with Soothe, you know. So yeah, and you can also sidechain with it. It's great. It's great. It's I would honestly recommend anyone to just go into the Oak Sound website. They have different presets that you can play and listen to. You know, you can bypass and just listen to that. And it's crazy how it can rebalance your mix. So yeah, Soothe is another plugin I've told Anthony to get multiple times.
Yeah, I haven't played around with it myself, but I've seen you use it. I've seen what it does. I've seen its capabilities. It's on my list. For sure.
Yeah. I use Soothe on every SoundSpace podcast. Soothe is on my piano mix bus and on my podcast mix bus, just to give you guys an idea. I'm always using like Soothe for that kind of stuff. It's fantastic.
Yeah, like hearing, I've seen what it does, hearing the befores and after of a product.
Yeah, and even it has attack and release functions, so you can literally go in there
and control,
and work with the transient.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So, fantastic. I'm reading here that the sidechain input is not functional in Logic as we are recording this, though. So if you're a Logic user, that kind of sucks, but I've used it in Pro Tools and Reaper, and it's done wonders for me. And they have the best let me see if I can open the Soothe right now. It's still recording. Yes. Okay, the magic of Reaper. I'm opening Soothe right now as I'm talking to you. Okay, yeah. Some of these so you open up Soothe, and what would happen is that you always start with a flat start, and you have user presets, and you have different presets you can go into. You have an acoustic guitar section, bass, drums, electric guitar, master. In the master section, the one that's always worked for me is Ear Friendly Top on Master 2. It sounds always good. It just kind of gets rid of that last minute, I don't want you frequencies.
The rejects. High end.
In the rejects. I've used in the piano section on my mix bus, I use the piano enhancer preset, and I kind of dial it back with the depth function. There's a depth knob in there. And there's also a mix function. And then for vocals, what I technically, when I use for the podcast, I use clean up a little vocal harshness. And it's kind of like just a broad band, and I'll just kind of just get rid of those last little frequencies you don't want, those like resonances you don't want, and it's great. It's so good. It's so good. So yeah, Soothe, absolutely a game changer. All right, what's your next pick?
So my next pick is, I've taken your advice on this one, and I got Valhalla Vintage Verb.
Yes, yes, and yes.
It's amazing. I fell in love with it. I use it on essentially everything, you know, with the exception of like a kick drum and a bass. You know, but it adds a nice sweet spot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, what do you use it on? Like, tell me everything about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like to use it on piano. Mm-hmm. It has a nice effect on piano and vocals. You know, I don't work too much on vocals, but the few times I have, it works great. I use it on like hi-hats and some snare. So for some percussive stuff, VSTs. So it really opens up the space a lot, and most of the time I'll put it on a bus and just link my instruments to that.
Absolutely. This plugin, guys, has a demo, and I'm telling you,
what convinced me. I got the demo, and I just had to buy it.
Absolutely. I haven't gone back. I've bought this plugin. I've tried all of the Reaper plugins. I've had the 140 from Arturia. I've had Neoverb from Isotope. I've had a Little Plate. I've had Altaverb. I had H Reverb from Waves. You know, I've gone around the reverb block. And I'm telling you, this one is the best one for me. It does everything I needed to. It has literally so many reverb modes. Concert, hall, plate, room, chamber, chorus, ambience, sanctuary, dirty hall, dirty plate, smooth room, smooth random, nonlinear, chaotic hall, like cathedral, which is new, by the way. They have a new reverb mode in the 2.20 version. And it even has different colors. You can have a 1970s, 1980s, and now.
Yeah, I actually recently discovered that. I there's so many things in Vintage Verb that I only recently discovered it. Before Vintage Verb, I was using the Arturia reverbs, like the plate, the spring, the intensity. But I don't really use those anymore since I got Vintage.
Like, I'm telling you, this is another plugin that I use on my piano covers. We're just kind of going over my entire piano template here, which is kind of funny. But what's really cool about this one as well is that all of the different functions it has. You have damping. You have something. You have functions for damping, so a high frequency, high shelf, bass frequency, and a bass multi. And then you can even work on the decay, the pre-delay. And then you have another section for the shape, the diffusion. There's an EQ, there's a low cut and a high cut. So there's a bunch of different tools you can go in there. What I tend to do personally with this, I'll go into the presets, I'll find the one that I really like. And I have a tendency to use this reverb as an insert more than a send. For some reason, this one sounds better to me as an insert rather than a send. But what I really like to do is I'll choose the preset. What I kind of don't like though, is that when I slap on this thing on an insert, the mix is always 100%. So whatever is playing will just sound super reverby. And I'm like, no, that's not what I want. And I'll use the mix function and I'll dial it in once I find the right preset for me. So yeah, definitely a fantastic plugin that I recommend to everyone. Valhalla Vintage Verb. Like what a boss plugin, to be honest.
It is. And it's so affordable. It's so cheap.
Yeah. And maybe a quick plug too for Valhalla. They have free plugins that I think everyone should get. They have Supermassive, which is free. They have Space Modulator, which is free. They have Frequency Echo, which is free. And those three I've used on basically every chip machine track I've worked on. The Sound Painter uses Space Modulator, Frequency Echo, and Supermassive. The Therminator, I used Space Modulator for sure. And the chip machine stuff coming out in 2022, I've definitely used the Supermassive on. Frequency Echo is like the one I haven't used as much. Yeah, and I also have a Valhalla Shimmer, which is great. And I also bought Valhalla Delay. You guys are kind of getting the idea that I'm a big Valhalla freak. I love Valhalla. I could talk about Valhalla for days.
You're a plugin freak.
No. Whoa. By the way, I do want to talk about this real quick. Sidebar. I made a commitment, and I will be releasing this, it'll be mid-2022. We're currently recording this late 2021 because we haven't even announced the podcast yet. But I am doing a plugin fast. I'm not buying a single plugin in 2022 just so I can commit myself to what I have and learn everything I have. I'm doing that. I'm putting myself through that. So you can call me a plugin free until December 31st.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm telling you right now, I'm doing it.
Time will tell.
Time will win because I will not wait. No, I will win. Anyways, my next pick, I want to talk about what comes right after Soothe on my piano mix bus.
Of course.
Which is Hornet 31. Another plugin that I convinced Anthony to purchase, which I'm very happy about. And I know you love it.
Yeah, I do. I use it every time now.
Yeah, I use it all the time on my mix bus. Every time I use it, my mix come out cleaner and they come out better. So what is Hornet 31? Basically, it's a 31 octave spectrum analyzer plugin where what it does is that it has an auto EQ function. So what's great about it is that you have three different algorithms, which are average, median, and lucky. And so the first two, one, average and median, are very mathematical. I kind of usually tend to stick with average. And when I'm doing weird electroacoustic stuff, I'll go into lucky. Lucky just kind of sounds funky to me. That's the only way I can put it. And it has a auto EQ amount that basically your song will play through. And then this thing will come in and notch out or boost frequencies to just make it everything sound nice and balanced. If you like, if your mix is like overdriven with bass, this thing will take care of it. In the sense that if you don't want that overdriven bass to be in there, if you do, then you need to like function otherwise. The other thing that's really cool with it is that you can load and save presets. So let's say I have this is what I always would do with rappers at the studio. I would run a whole session, and at the end, you know, once there's like maybe 15 minutes left, and I'm doing my final export, I'll let Hornet play through, play it back. If it sounds nice, good. I'll go in there, I'll save the preset as the name of the artist and the song, and then boom, I can just reload this thing the next day.
Nice.
Auto EQ amount that works good for me, 40 to 50% about. So yeah, and then what's really cool about it too is that it has a nice LED flashing pattern, which lets you know where if you're close to the peak and you're not. You know, it goes from minus 66 all the way to zero, so you kind of have an idea of that. And then, like I said, the EQ bands, you have 20, 25, 32, 40, 50, 63, all the way up to 20K. So it's really split with those 31 different EQ bands. And like I said, each band has an adjustable minus to 15 to plus 15 dBs. And then, just a fantastic plugin with so many great functions, and I use it all the time, and it's super cheap. It's like
I got it
20 euros.
Yeah, I got it half price. I got it like 10 euros, but yeah, it's I think it's at 20.
Definitely worth the worth.
Do you ever use it on any channel other than the master?
No, No, I wouldn't play on a different channels than the master. Personally, for me, that's kind of where it belongs. The other thing too, obviously, with Hornet and Soothe, and we'll get into this with my third pick, is you always have to watch the phase with these kinds of plugins. You know, you can start playing with the phase relationship pretty fast if you start removing resonances and boosting and auto boosting and auto cutting certain frequencies, you know. So just be careful with that. And I'm going to talk about that with the next plugin as to why my mix bus works so well thanks to that. So yeah, is there anything else you wanted to say about the Hornet 31?
No. I mean, I the reason I asked is because I have experimented with putting it on like an instrument, like a VST. It doesn't work too well. That's why I was asking if you have ever experimented with it. But yeah, no, it's definitely a master channel kind of plugin.
Yeah. It's like it's a final thing too. Like I this is the second last plugin on my mix bus. It's like you don't want to put this at the beginning of your mix bus.
No. But you know, I like to mess around a little bit with plugins just to see like working with them wrong to see if something fun happens.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the electroacoustic
acoustic part of me. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah. The other thing too, there's another plugin called Goldfoss that kind of has the same concept as a Hornet 31, but it has like a dynamic thing to it.
Okay. I don't think I've heard of that.
Goldfoss is really cool. I was talking with Jacob, our guest, Jacob Lacroix-Cardinal, and he's been using Goldfoss a lot on his mixes, and he tells me that he loves it, and it's like it works a bit better than Hornet 31 for what he does. Obviously, I haven't used Goldfoss yet, so I don't want to speak on it. So yeah, that's basically the idea.
Cool.
So yeah, what's your next pick?
So earlier I mentioned that one of my go-to plugins on my list I don't use often. Allow me to elaborate. It's called Portal. It's by Output, and it's a granular synthesis. And I think that that explains enough why I don't use it often. It's not my everyday plugin, but there are some projects that I work on that I just slap on, honestly, any preset, because there's 100. I play around with it a little, but there's so many presets that you could just slap on and it's going to sound incredible, every single one of them.
Right.
Yeah, I like to use that for some of my EA compositions and when I'm doing like really electronic music, just some fun side effects to add in there.
This is a granular synth. It just takes everything apart and puts it all back together whenever you run through it. That's what I love about granular synthesis. That's why I bought Silo. To me, Silo was a really cool one. But using this thing with all the different presets it has, the delays, the glitch, the bass, the rhythmic, and then you just choose some preset. And the UI is so cool where you just have this like circle with a bunch of dots and you're kind of just running around like, oh, do I want more pitch? Yeah. More tape delay, want a different rate, more open. You can reverse the sound, you know?
Yeah.
Which is just, it's crazy. And I want to say, I want to give a plug to, what was it? Off the Sound Page or Chip Machine, Exakachi. It was Glitchenstein.
Mm-hmm.
Glitchenstein was all Portal. Yeah. If you want to hear what Portal sounds like, go check out Glitchenstein. Yeah. Because I remember the way we made that song was...
A lot of Portal.
It was a lot of Portal, but it was a drum machine. It wasn't like a white drum machine or something, like a white noise sampler or something like that. Just some different, really weird drum machine in Logic. And we just like wrote these super wacky beats and then we ran it through Portal and again and again. And we granulated it like to the point of like it wasn't even a drum anymore. Like the transient was gone, guys. There was no more transient. And this was like a drum machine. It's all kick and snare, you know? It's all fast attack, you know? We washed that out with this plugin, which I loved doing. So absolutely a fantastic, fantastic.
There's over 250 presets.
Yeah, which definitely is insane. 250?
I have not gone through 250 presets. I've probably touched like 80, you know?
I mean, this thing is a whole universe. And I'm even checking out here, there's an expansion too, Portal Chaos. I mean, that looks extremely electroacoustic to me. Like, that's some evil voodoo spectrogram ghost looking kind of thing to me. I should have bought that when I was making that album. But great plugin. Even I was looking more at stuff, key features here. Tempo sync, grain delay, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, seven built-in effects with an additional master compressor and filter. Like, what else do you need?
There's different like subcategories. There's some presets for pitch, presets for drums, presets for vocals, guitars, delay, glitchy, whatever you're looking for, sound design, like whatever you're looking for, it's there. I really like to use it.
Absolutely. I also personally, have used this plugin only at your house because you're the one who has it. I haven't really used it since then, but I've watched tutorials with this, and it's one of those, was I going to go with this one or was I going to go with Silo by Unfiltered Audio? And I've become such a Unfiltered Audio freak.
Yeah.
I bought so many other plugins, and I swear by Unfiltered Audio. Portal is more of a delay, a granulator. The Silo is more of a reverb granulator, and it has all of its own functions that I love. But definitely, it belongs in the weird electroacoustic toolkit of plugins is the way I would put this one.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, I think I got it because I saw an ad about it like while I was scrolling through Instagram or something. I'm like, oh, that looks cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, that looks cool. I looked more into it and I got it. Like, minimal thought.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, let's go to my final plugin. What's, Anthony, what?
Jayan, what's your final plugin?
If you were to do a mix bus, right, and you're building your mix bus, what do you put at the end? What's the last thing?
Limiter.
What's the last thing you always want to put? A limiter. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And the best limiter out there, in my opinion, and everything I've tried out there, is Pro L 2 from FatFilter. There's no better limiter. This thing is so versatile. Literally, it has 8 different limiting algorithms. It has true peak limiting. It can go up to 32 times linear phase oversampling, and you super low CPU usage. I was looking at it earlier. I was just kind of doing my research now and looking at the website, but it supports Dolby Atmos up to 7.1.2, which is ridiculous, and its functionality is great. It has a look ahead function. You can play with the attack and the release, and then you even have a channel linking function where you can look at work on the transients and the release of that. For me, I use 2 presets that do it for me every time. Let me just pull up a Pro L 2 real quick here for the people. Okay, for the podcast, nothing better than this is the one where I don't really tweak too much on the presets, but for the podcast and anything voiceover, I go into the safe folder, and it's podcast and broadcast voiceovers. That one always just makes the podcast sound good and loud, and I know nothing's gonna peak. Nothing's ever peaked. This thing just limits perfectly. Visually, the UI is great because you're seeing the limiting happen in real time.
Yeah.
And then punchy loudness is the other one that I use. It's in the moderate section. And this one just kind of works really well for me. It doesn't take away too much of the transient for me. It just really brings it all together, and it holds my mix well. I don't feel like I'm losing too much dynamic information with it. It just kind of like tips off anything that's going to go and peak, you know, which is the whole point of the true peak limiting, of course. And yeah, just a fantastic, fantastic plugin that I purchased this one. It came into the mastering bundle, which in my opinion, if there is one bundle from FabFilter to purchase, it's the mastering one. That's the great upgrade that I did personally. You got Pro L, Pro MB, Pro C, and Pro Q, which is basically all you need for me, honestly. Those are all plugins that I use on the go all the time. I use Pro Q on the podcast, I use Pro C on the podcast, I use Pro L, and I use Pro MB. So what you're currently listening to right now is being played through that. So yeah, fantastic limiter that I love. Have you ever looked into it at all?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't looked into it.
Fair enough. To me, the other thing that's really, really good with this one is that the adjustability of the look ahead, the attack, and the release. Like, you can really go fine-tune these things. And you have a dither, you have an oversampling, like I said, for the phase. So yeah, it's a complete, very complete limiter. There's no better limiter for me out there. I always use this on all of my mixes, on my mix bus all the time. And so the other thing I wanted to mention too, this is like a bit of an honorable mention. This is kind of like a little trick I've done personally. When I mentioned using Soothe and then Hornet 31, you know, phase is something that needs to be looked at a lot when you're mixing, because it's so easy. You can so easily cause phase issues when you're using too many plugins that play around with frequencies, such as Soothe and Hornet 31.
Right.
And so what I use, and I love to use to check my phase relationship, first of all, I use my ears all the time. I think the ears is the most important part of any mix bus. But here's a little trick. I use the BX meter. The BX meter is great because it's just that like little confirmation I need. It's from Plugin Alliance.
Plugin Alliance, I was just going to ask.
Yeah. And it has a nice little correlation function at the very top. And it just shows, as you play your mix out, like to me, this is like one of the best metering plugins out there. it just kind of has a minus one and a plus one. If you're falling in the plus one, your phase relationship is good. If you're going in the minus one, your phase relation is bad. Always use your ears, and I always use this little plugin as a confirmation just to make sure that my ears aren't lying to me. So that's what I do. Just to, whenever I finish a mix, I have two templates that I do my piano covers in. Like my whole mixing template / MIDI template. Like I kind of do my MIDI in either a Sibelius or a MuseScore. And then when I'm done with that, I export my MIDI as a MIDI type one. I think that's the multi-channel one. Bring it into my Reaper piano template. And then I'll do the last few MIDI touches and humanize and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then after that, I'll run it through my entire mixing template. And once that's done, I have a metering template, something that I bring in my piano, like export and master into, and I'll listen to it. And then it's just one track with a bunch of different metering plugins, such as BX Meter and Hawkeye, some stock Reaper stuff as well. And I just look and I play my song through all of this, and I'm using my ears and my eyes also to just see what the metering plugins are telling me. And if they're telling me the phase relationship is good and I've already heard it, then I know. So yeah. That's how I go about managing phase, because I think it's something that's easily forgotten about when you just
look. Yeah, it is very easily forgotten about, and it sounds awful when you hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I spill a lot of my secrets in this episode, but I'm okay with that. I like sharing.
Yeah, sharing is caring, man.
Sharing is caring.
That's the first thing we learned in school.
Yeah, first thing we learned in school is sharing is caring. Okay, so I guess that's everything for this episode?
No, I actually wanted to ask you something.
Go ahead.
So I wanted to, like we said our top three, but I wanted to ask you, what are some worth it mentions? Like for me, the Shadow Hills compressor.
Yes.
I recently purchased it. I did use it once, but I haven't used it enough to talk about it. Another one is Sausage Fattener by Data Life.
Oh, really? It's, you use Sausage Fattener?
Yes. I don't use it often, but it is nice. It's like it's a multi-purpose plugin. And, it's a fat compression. To me, it's more of an aggressor than a compressor.
Oh, my goodness. Sausage Fattener. Yeah. I saw a couple of electronic music producers using this one at the studio, and they were like, oh, it's the best. And I'm like,
it really adds a lot of flavor to
Does it really? Is it really worth it? Is it?
It's not super worth it, but it's fun to play with, to use. Definitely.
Okay, fair enough.
There are other ways to accomplish the same thing. It's just the beauty of this is it's two knobs.
Yeah.
There's a color knob and a fatness knob,
Right.
And my last one, my third one, I don't own this plugin, but I have used it and it's really cool. It's Manipulator by Infected Mushrooms.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
It's a vocal transforming processor.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool.
It's really cool. I've dabbled with it on a friend's computer. Just slap on a vocal... Or it doesn't even have to be vocal. It could just be like a synth, but it's mainly made for vocals. I actually used it for the live EA composition.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your live EA.
I had my mic and I was attached to a friend's laptop and I just, I used Manipulator.
Nice.
And it sounded incredible.
I'm looking at my plugins folder and it's ridiculously large. I have so many.
Just name three. Like some worth it mentions.
Okay, so the BX Meter, I'm going to give myself that one. I use it all the time, like I said earlier. And then I also wanted to mention Lion by Unfiltered Audio. LION. Okay, here's the T. I basically composed all of the Sound Painter and all of the Spectrogram Ghosts Chip Machine releases only using Lion. 80% of it was Lion. That's how amazing I love how amazing this plugin is. I'm pretty sure I've told you about Lion before, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I want to correct myself. LION. It's just Lion. And so it's from Unfiltered Audio, and it's basically like a synthesizer jungle. It has 20 different oscillator modes. It has unique mixing algorithms, and it modulates to the depths of the earth. I love it. And it has a randomizing function that I love with it. So Lion is the other one I'm going to mention. And you're really putting me on the spot here.
No
so
pressure,
many good ones, man.
No pressure. Just top of your head.
So much pressure.
Top of your head. Worth it mentions.
All right. Another thing I use on the podcast, RX9 Standard.
RX.
Yeah.
I think that's a great...
Is a must.
Great, worth it mention.
Yeah, it's a must. To me, that one is a must. Like I need that plugin every day whenever I'm working on audio. So yeah, there you go. RX9 is obviously a post-production tool that you can clean up your audio with. I'm talking in a very generic sense here. I have a module chain that I use for the podcast all the time. Oh, it has a high pass EQ. It has the plosive, the clicking, the noising, breath control. I'm forgetting a few. But it's like a crazy chain, and I'm always running all the audio. Once Anthony edits it, I send it over. He sends it over to me. I always RX everything before I hit Pro Tools. And then when I hit Pro Tools, that's where I have like my Pro Q, my Pro MB, my Pro C, my Pro L, Soothe, just to like just those last dynamic touches to make it nice and fat and loud and make sure there's like no extra little things I don't want anymore. So yeah, those are my mentions.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. So there you go. That's, I guess, 12 great plugins that...
we'll spend your money on.
Yeah, that you...
Don't crack! Don't crack!
Definitely do not
crack. Don't
crack!
I do not support plugin cracking.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
So just to reiterate, we got Ozone 8, 9, Vintage Verb, Portal. We got Shadow Hills, Sausage Fattener, Infected Mushroom, the Manipulator. We had BX.
The BX Meter. We had a Hornet and we had Soothe and RX. Yeah. That's basically all of them. There might be one forgotten in there somewhere, but you know, you just play back the podcast. You just give us some more watch time. Meh. All right, so that's basically everything.
Before you conclude, I just wanted to say, well, like, those were some of our favorite plugins. We'd like to know what are your favorite plugins. You know, send us a message.
Yeah,
we'd love to know.
Leave it in the comments. Leave it in the review.
Leave it in a review. You know? Leave it in the comments. Send us a message. Anything. We'd love to know and, you know, discuss it. Talk about it with you.
Absolutely. There's probably going to be an email for this podcast as well. You can email us. There'll be a link in the description because we haven't created it yet as we are recording this. So, all right. That's basically everything. Anthony, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at acachi.audio. That's acachi.audio. And you can find me on Spotify as Acachi. My website is currently being made, so no website yet, but it will be linked when it's done.
Perfect. When it's done. One of our guests had a really easy way of plugging things. I'm just going to use that from now on. Go to giantmusic.com. It leads to everything else. Like, that's such a simple way to plug. And now instead of being like, my Facebook, my Twitter, my TikTok, my Insta, my my mailing list.
Just your website. You know? Links to everything.
Yeah, links to everything. And then Soundspace is obviously all over social media. We have a website. We have an email. We have social media. Go follow us everywhere. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen to us. And our next episode is going to be a banger. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Oh, yeah. So for myself and Anthony, this has been another episode of Soundspace. Bye, guys.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah. We're sponsored by no one. No one sponsors us.
Sponsor us.